Amen. Hallelujah. The Word of God is just awesome. It's just wonderful. And we just are going to Philippians 4, 6 through 8. It doesn't look like we have anyone on the computer tonight to look up our scriptures. But anyway, so we'll just get to look them up the old-fashioned way. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. And I'm reading all of my verses tonight in the New King James Version. I'll give you just a minute to find it. And this is a scripture that we all could read every day, and every day it would feed us and lift us up and just be good for us. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So it's telling us, really don't worry about everything, anything, but by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Number 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And verse 8 is our key scripture that we're going to be looking at real close tonight. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Our minds are recording devices, and we have approximately 30,000 thoughts that go through our mind every day. We have a very busy computer, and thoughts are just running all day long. And it's important that we focus our mind on thinking about good things. This is what the scripture says. Whatever of these good things, think on these things. So when negative or unacceptable thoughts come up, we need to immediately replace them with good thoughts. We need to cut off the bad thoughts and replace them with good thoughts. And when you do that, when you fill your mind with good thoughts, you have an increased level of peace, and you need to direct your mind instead of letting your mind direct you. In other words, we need to choose what we think about instead of letting our mind just run wild with whatever comes through our mind. It's important to dump the trash every day out of our minds, otherwise it'll start to stink, just like garbage. If we let it get in our minds, pretty soon it'll really get smelly. The first one we're going to look at is, it says, to think about is whatever things are true. And that word true also means real, genuine, authentic. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus is the truth. And then John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them." He was praying for the church, and he said, "Sanctify them by your truth." Your word is truth. So we can read the word of God, and that's truth. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is truth. The word of God is truth. But then in John 8:44, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So the devil doesn't have any truth in him at all. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And you've seen the picture of, you know, there's an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder. And whoever you feed the most or whoever you let listen to the most is going to affect you. And so we need to be listening to the Word of God, and we need to be listening to Jesus and His Word, and just not listen to the devil because he's a liar. Sometimes we confuse incoming information with truth. Just because something's written, just because a book's written about something, or because it's on the internet, or because somebody said it, doesn't make it true. Some people will go and say, oh, I know that's true. I saw it on the internet. Duh. You know, everything, or I saw it on television or heard it on the radio. Well, that doesn't mean it's true. It means that the person that was saying it or the presenter's trying to convince you of their viewpoint on an issue. They may or may not be true, and they may only be half true. That's the way gossip is. Gossip usually has a part truth in it, but it has a whole lot more. It's not all true. And as believers, we need to be really aware. The word true in Philippians 4:8 carries the meaning of complete truth, nothing hidden or concealed. When I was a little girl, we used to sing a little song that said, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And then it went on to say, be careful, little ears, what you hear. And be careful, little mouth, what you say. And we need to watch what we're seeing, hearing, and saying on a regular basis. We need to stop and say, hey, what am I listening to? What am I seeing? What am I looking at? What am I saying? What's coming out my mouth? And so we need to keep watch on it. Make sure it's the truth. God's word is true always. We don't have to wonder about it, filter it, or separate it out. It's all truth. God's word is all truth. Most strongholds of the enemy are between the ears, our ears. It's in our thoughts. Almost all strongholds that we're facing have to do with our thought process and what are we thinking. Are we thinking in line with God, or are we thinking in line with the world and what the devil is wanting us to think? Psalms 19:14. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So that's a prayer that we need to pray every day. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, or what I'm thinking about, be acceptable to you, O Lord. And then David also said, search me, O Lord. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. We live in a wicked world. You know, we live in a dirty world, and as we walk around through life, we can pick up the dust and things from the world, and it's important that we cast it off. Don't let it stay there. You know, get rid of it. Let the Lord search our hearts. John 8:32, Jesus said, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So knowing the truth keeps us at peace, and it sets us free. We're just liberty when we know the truth. And the second thing that we're going to look at, it said, think about whatever things are noble. Noble means good, gracious, polite, doing the right thing. It means being nice, you know, just be nice. Remember the scripture that Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So just we always be noble, do the right thing, think the right thoughts about people. And then it also says to think about whatever things are just. And the word just means fair, impartial, honest, honorable, and righteous. Are my thoughts towards others just? Am I feeding into my mind and thoughts things that meet this standard? The enemy's out to steal our peace any way he can. And whether he is successful or not depends on me. What am I going to let come into my mind? What am I going to think about? When I choose to talk and participate in activities that are fair, impartial, above board, Satan can't win. Therefore, I'll not clutter my thoughts with craftiness or attempts to get ahead at the expense of others. That's not being just. If we're wanting to climb the ladder and step over other people and hurt them in the way, that's not just. Jesus said in his kingdom, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you have to be the servant of all. And if we live a life of love and servant, God will serve and be servants to people. God will exalt us and he will lift us up and he will give us the favor. Hallelujah. I will entertain thoughts that are holy and innocent. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to change some of our activities or who we're hanging around with. Because if we hang out with the wrong people, you know, their attitudes can get off on us. So we have to sometimes change our situations to get into the right thought process. And then the next thing it says to think about in Philippians 4:8 is things that are pure. Pure means clean, modest, innocent, chaste, decent, righteous, and holy. We live in a world that's ruled by Satan. It's dirty, immoral, indecent. And so Satan's always coming at us to think impure thoughts. But Ephesians 5:15 tells believers to live their lives circumspectly. That means to be vigilant and watchful. Jesus gave us authority over the enemy, but we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention and know when the enemy's coming against us. God doesn't set boundaries to limit us. He sets boundaries to protect us and enhance our lives. He wants us to have a better life. We're not supposed to be separated from the world. We're to be the lights of the world. We're to be a light in this world. We're to spice it up and light it up. We're the salt of the earth. Jesus called us the salt of the earth and the lights of the earth. Hallelujah. But we have to be diligent that we influence others and that they do not influence us. We're to be the ones that are the influence wherever we are. Philippians 4:8 says we're to think about whatever things are lovely. Lovely means beautiful, pleasant, wonderful, and delightful. The Song of Songs talks about the Lord being altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. There's a song we used to sing, and I just wish I could sing it better, but it was just like, he is altogether lovely. He's the fairest of the fair. And in him alone, through life, I can depend. When all language fails completely, when we try to tell the world of the loveliness of Jesus Christ our Lord. But Jesus is lovely. He's wonderful. He's lovely. What an awesome thing to think about is his beauty and his love. And just everything is wonderful about the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 13:7 tells us that we are supposed to look for the... to believe the best of every person. When we're thinking about people, we need to think, what is lovely about them? What's beautiful about them? And sometimes we just see, like, the stuff on the surface is not always beautiful, but everybody has things that's lovely in their lives and in their hearts. And you need to look for the gold. Something that goes along with this is that, you know, true prophecy is to go for the gold, find the gold and bring it to the surface. Instead of looking for the dirt, look for the gold. And so we are supposed to also look for the best in everybody else. What's the best thing about them? What's the beautiful and the wonderful things about them? Philippians 4:8 also tells us to think on things that are of good report. And sometimes good reports are hard to come by. Remember when the Lord told the children of Israel to go into the promised land? They were ready to go in and take the promised land, and they sent 10 spies in to spy out the land. And Joshua and Caleb came back, and he said, "It's a good land. It's a land of milk and honey, and it's a good land, and we are well able to go up and take the land." Hallelujah. And they brought back a good report, but 8 of the men that went brought back an evil report. And they said, "We can't take this land. It's a harsh, unforgiving land. The people are giants. We are grasshoppers in our own sight. We can't do it. Let's wait." The two men that brought the good report, Joshua and Caleb, got to enjoy the blessings of the promised land. They got to go in eventually. But the men that brought an evil report wandered for 40 years and died without experiencing the blessings. And it wasn't the giants that kept them out. It was the grasshopper mentality. They spoke doubt and fear. And the evil report kept them from the blessing. God doesn't want us to keep us from any blessing that he's promised. But our thoughts and fears can stop us from the blessing from overtaking us. We must line up our thoughts with God's thoughts. And God's thoughts about us in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know," the Lord's talking to us about us, and he says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And so we don't want to let the grasshopper mentality keep us from receiving the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah, because through God, we can do all things, because God's with us. He's with us, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And when he tells us to do something, we're not on our own. He's going with us. He fights our battles for us. He causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. He is our victory. Hallelujah. And these men that brought the evil report, they said, "We are grasshoppers in our own sight." It was their own vision and their own way of thinking about it and their own way of looking at it that hindered them and kept them from going into the promise of the Lord. We're looking at Philippians 4:8. We're taking the different points in that chapter. And then the seventh thing that it said to think about, it said that if there be any virtue. The word virtue means righteousness, integrity, honesty, and morality. Our God's word is righteous, and our thoughts should be word motivated, not media driven. Many of people's conversations start with, "Did you hear that?" And how many times is that negative? Almost always. And when we listen to negative reports, it just gets us down. It just kind of throws a damper on our spirit. And our thoughts should be word motivated, listening to the word. Hallelujah. When we start our day with the word, when we keep the word of God in our heart and in our thought, when those things come out, it's like we've put a shield up because it's the word's there. You know, we cover ourselves with the love of word of God and cover our mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. God's promise never to forsake us. And Satan is the loser and Jesus is the winner. God's power is always greater than the power of the enemy. And light is always more powerful than darkness. Always. The word says that the light dispels the darkness. You can walk into this room, and if nobody's here at night, and you can walk in and it'll be dark, dark, dark. And you can just start screaming at the dark to leave and everything, and it's not going to do anything. All you have to do is switch, put the light on, and the darkness is gone. It dispels the darkness. So bring the light of the Lord. Bring the light of his word into every situation. Jesus said, no weapon formed against us can prosper. And it said the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church. Hallelujah. We have the keys to the kingdom and the authority and the power that go with it. Hallelujah. And then it also said, if there be anything praiseworthy, think on these things. That means we need to give a good report. And that means worshiping God and praising God and telling testimonies. Testimonies are powerful. When someone says, God did this for me, and you know, you're glorifying God. And it just lifts people up when you give a positive testimony. Think about the things that's happened in the Word of God. You know, just think about the miracles that God did to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and the miracles that happened. You can think of all kind of examples in the Word where God triumphed and His people triumphed and God did great things for His people. Hallelujah. All through the New Testament, Jesus healed the sick and He raised the dead and He set people that were demon possessed free. Those are good reports. Those are praiseworthy. You know, He saved me. He redeemed me from being lost. He saved me. That's a praiseworthy report. He filled me with His Spirit. He healed my body. He answers my prayer. When I cry unto Him, He hears me and He responds and He meets me where I am. You know, just give good reports about the Lord. Hallelujah. That's praise. It's praiseworthy, the things that God does. Hallelujah. God loves us so much, and He loves this world so much. And that's praiseworthy. That's worth repeating. And we also, when we think of things as praiseworthy, we need to say things that edify other people. You did a good job on that. You blessed me. You know, you were a blessing to me. I appreciate you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for the smile that you give me every time I see you. It always warms my heart. Those are things, praiseworthy things. Think good about other people. Think uplifting thoughts and good about them. Hallelujah. And just praising the Lord and worshiping Him is just an awesome thing. When we worship the Lord, when we get into His Spirit and we begin to give Him glory, it just changes the atmosphere around us, but it changes our heart. When you adore someone and just praise them, in a good or a bad sense, you become like the people that you're putting your praise to and your attention to. When young people go to rock concerts, who do they come home acting like? Who are they worshiping? And how effect does it have on them? They become like who they're putting their attention to. When we worship the Lord, when we praise the Lord, when we spend time in His presence, It just draws us into His nature and into His love. And we become like the one that we adore. We become like a mirror that reflects God's glory and His love. When we spend time in the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Lord, we become like Him. Hallelujah. He takes us from glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. Praise is just an awesome thing. There's power in praise. It's like praise. Praise is the vehicle. Sometimes it will take you into a victorious situation. There was a book years ago that was written, The Power of Praise, and everybody was just praising the Lord. Whatever came, praise the Lord. But there were testimonies about how situations changed and things changed. I like to think of it like this. In the old-fashioned sailboats where they had, you know, like the ones they came into the New World with. There was sails on the ship, and the wind would push them and move them. The wind is what moved them. And a storm could come, and the storm could sink the ship, or it could push it on its way more quickly. It could hurry its route depending on how people set the sails when the winds were blowing. The winds could destroy them, or it could push them ahead quicker, further on their way. And when we have an attitude of prayer and praising the Lord in the midst of a storm, our praise in the middle of the storm can either, how we set our attitudes, how we praise the Lord in the middle of the storm can either destroy us or push us toward our goal more quickly. Praise is powerful. Praise is our sails that catch the wind that pushes us forward instead of sinks us in a time of a storm. Hallelujah. Jesus has the answers. He has the answers to whatever we face. And it's important to praise Him. And it's important to praise Him and thank Him. If you have a child that's troubled, just begin to thank God for that child. Every time you think of them, say, God, thank you for blessing them today. Thank you, Father, for blessing them. Thank you for giving them peace. Thank you for letting your love and your blessings just hover over their life. Thank you, Lord, for blessing their finances. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them with the right friends and good friends. And thank you for setting them free. Thank you, Lord. And you know, we didn't just say thank you, Lord, for anything we need. We can praise the Lord. Even in the midst of a battle, we can praise the Lord. And praise turns situations around. It changes the atmosphere. It changes things when we worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have, you know, it's important to begin our day with praise. When fear arises, praise the Lord. The best way to redirect our thoughts from negative to positive is to praise and just worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say good things. Think good things. Hallelujah. It will turn things around. And I'm going to read in Philippians 4, 6 through 8, and we started out reading it in the New King James, and I'm going to read it in the Message version. So you might want to just listen and soak it in. In the Message, it says, Philippians 4, 6 through 8, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I'm going to read that again. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Hallelujah. Remember the old song that says, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He knows the way. Don't be a doubting Thomas, but trust fully in his promise. Hallelujah. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word that just quickens and changes our heart, changes our life. God is just so good at taking broken people and putting them back together again, taking bad situations and turning them around. You know, God is a miracle worker. He's wonderful. He's holy. And we can take our petitions and praises to Him. Hallelujah. And it says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Prayer is powerful. You know, it's like sometimes people will just worry and worry and worry and worry and fret over something. And maybe a week later, they'll, you know, I've been worrying about that. I didn't even pray about it. You know, we get so tied up in the worry that we forgot the very first step and the first thing that we needed to do. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you for the life that's in your word. And we thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you for this precious Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And we just thank you, Lord, for the witness of the Spirit in our hearts that we are the sons of God and we are the children of God and we are the loved of God. And Lord, you're just a wonderful, wonderful Father that loves us. Such a wonderful, wonderful Father that loves us. And you're just like our big sweet daddy that we can crawl up in your lap and just you'll love us and you'll listen to us and you have a good things prepared for us. Your thoughts for us are good thoughts and thoughts of blessing and a hope and a future. You have a plan, Lord, for every one of us. You have a path prepared for us that is right, that will take us to victory, from victory into victory into victory. Lord, that you have blessings for us, and we just thank you, Lord, that you straighten the path before us and straighten the crooked places before us. And Lord, we just thank you for victories and for pleasant things and joy. Lord, we thank you for joy of your word and the joy of our salvation. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for pouring out your peace upon every person that's here tonight. I just thank you for your peace to penetrate our hearts. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. The presence of the Lord is here right now. I just know God is here. His presence is here. And I just want us to be quiet before the Lord. And we're just gonna be quiet and just relax in God and just picture God walking up and down, Jesus walking up and down the aisles. And just know that He's here to meet you here tonight. And I want us to just get quiet before the Lord.